The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll be reading a short selection from 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And the star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Father, as we look into your word today, we pray that the Holy Spirit may be powerful among us and within us. Open our eyes and open our hearts. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, God's word today will be of interest to you if you meet one of three qualifications. Number one, if your body isn't what it used to be, raise your hand. Or if you have lost a loved one to death sometime in the recent past. Or if you're one day going to die. Think that just about covers all of us. 1 Corinthians 15 is about Jesus' resurrection, and it is a powerful chapter, rather long chapter, and it gets into some incredible stuff. It talks not only about his resurrection and establishes it as a fact of history, but it also talks about us and the fact that we are going to follow in his footsteps. Right at the beginning of this chapter, words that we didn't read today. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. He talks about the true gospel. He talks about the fact that it's the one that I preached to you and you embraced. There are a lot of phony gospels out there, I'll tell you right now. And I worry every day about people falling for phony gospels. Most phony gospels are man-centered or woman-centered. They talk about us and our potential and all the great things we're going to own and all the great things we're going to do and what we're capable of and that kind of thing. The true gospel, the Bible says, starts out with our sin. It's offensive. It's in our face. And it says we're sinners who desperately need a Savior. And God has remedied that need by sending his Son. verses 3 through 6 in this chapter talks about that gospel, and it talks about the fact that he died for our sins, that he was buried and raised for our future, that he was raised according to the scriptures, that it was all foretold ahead of time, and that he appeared after his resurrection to over 500 people who personally witnessed him walking around. The Bible presents the resurrection of Jesus as a historical fact. Again, there are religions floating around out there that want to de-emphasize this, that even want to take Christianity and make it into really just a set of teachings. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and so on and so forth. You know the teachings of Jesus. But there's more, of course. There's the miraculous. There's the unexplained. There are the things that Jesus did that were just absolutely not scientifically explainable. The incredible miracles, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead. And Paul addresses this in this chapter. He said, now I want to go back to those folks who are downplaying Jesus' resurrection and saying it never really happened. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that Jesus rose from the dead. The scripture says, but if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And he addresses this. He said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And therefore, ultimately, we have no hope. And he says this ominous thing at the end of this little section. He says, and we who gather like this from week to week, we are the most of all people to be pitied. If Jesus is not raised from the dead. Those are Paul's words, not mine. And then in verses 20 through 23, we have this beautiful statement. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. As in Adam all die, as in Christ all are made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ first, the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. There's that tremendous statement, that beautiful, positive, hopeful statement that all of us latch on to and hold on to for dear life because it's true. We will follow in Jesus' footsteps. Make no mistake. A.W. Tozer said one time, the Christian church is helpless and hopeless if it is stripped of the reality and the historicity of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's so right. Take that away and we have nothing. But because of it, we have everything. Do you ever wonder what heaven's going to be like? Ever spend any time thinking about that? What I'll be like? What my body will be like? What it's going to be like to see my dad, whom I lost when I was 14 years old, a very young man when he died, and my mom. What it's going to be like to have a reunion with them. Ever think about what the first 5 minutes after you pass away is going to be like? First 5 minutes. That time of rediscovery. Can we know about any of this stuff? The Bible says absolutely we can. Our earthly bodies and our heavenly bodies come into focus when we see Jesus walking around after his resurrection. I said before, 500 people got to experience that. They saw him. They listened to him. They ate with him. They touched him. They spent time with him. And what they saw was a preview of what they were going to be like and what they were going to experience. What would it have been like to have been one of those folks? Man, I can only imagine the thrill of seeing this person that they know was just hours before hanging on a cross and ultimately taken down dead. Think about this. When they saw Jesus' resurrection body, they were seeing their future. They were given a preview of what they would experience, a guarantee of their resurrection. First, in Isaiah chapter 53, these words: "It was the Lord's will to crush him," that is Jesus, "and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. In the suffering of his soul, he will surely see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities." A preview of what is to come. Jesus is the pioneer. He's the one that's gone on ahead of us, the one who has experienced what we will experience. You know, if you're going to have a surgery, it's always nice to talk to somebody who has had that same surgery, especially if it's been successful. But it's nice to talk to them and find out what they experienced, to calm your fears, to just put you at ease a little bit. If it's a major heart surgery, to know somebody's been there before you and what it was like. Jesus, the pioneer, has been through death and through the experience of resurrection and living a resurrected life on the other side. How can such an amazing change take place? It all seems so unreal, so impossible, so beyond the realm of possibility. How can it all take place? The answer is in this same chapter. The answer is in the scriptures, and the answer is a seed. I went to the store and picked up some seeds. This one happens to be a bean seed. I really wanted to come up with a sunflower seed. But seeds are absolutely miraculous. They're incredible. We have no idea the power and the incredible supernatural nature of this little seed. When I first moved into our house, I wanted to start a little garden. So I went to Homemaker's Feed. Remember that place? Homemaker's Feed, wooden, uneven floors and bins with the seeds, mice running around while you shopped. It was a great place. I said, I need some bean seeds and I need a few of this and a few of that. And they dug into the bins and scooped them out, put them in envelopes for me, and I took them home and planted them, and they came up. But seeds, think about it, seeds are incredible. In each seed, there is this tremendous life and we can't see it. We look at the hull, and we know there's something inside of here just waiting to explode and come out, each after its own kind. The scripture says the seed must die first. It must go in the ground and get wet and then break open, and then God gives it a body all of its own, a body that we can't see right now, a body that is incredibly different and yet the same after its own kind as the seed itself. I wanted to get a sunflower seed because when you plant one of those, they're only about that big. In fact, ball players take a mouthful of them and chew on them and spit them out. But if you put a sunflower seed in the ground, think about it, they're only this big. And if you leave them as they are, nothing will ever happen to them. But if you put them in the ground and you get them wet and they break open, well, you know how big sunflowers can get. Huge, beautiful, radiant, strong. All of that contained somehow in that little seed. This, folks, is a preview of us. It's a preview of us because right now we're living seeds. But what you're living in is the old hull. And what's inside of you is just waiting to spring forth into something so beautiful that you can't even imagine it now. Our gardens preach the gospel. Every year, our daughter, Angela, has a class of third graders over in the Godwin district, and every year she has a little exercise with them where she gets out some paper cups or styrofoam cups and gives them each a little flower seed. And they plant it in that little bit of dirt that they put in that cup. And then they water it, just a couple of drops of water to get it wet. And then they put it in the windowsill. And of course, after a little while, a little sprout comes up and the kids just are captivated by this and watch that little shoot get bigger and ultimately grow into a flower. All contained in that hull, that dead body, if you will. We can't see the end result, but we trust that it will happen. And again, that's the point. We're walking and talking seeds, and yet we're now contained in that old hull, and inside of us is life beyond our wildest dreams. Inside of us is a body so beautiful that it will take your breath away. So powerful that it would make us flinch even to think about it right now. And one day, we're going to break free and we're going to grow. And that life even starts now. When you become a Christian, God sends His seed, the Holy Spirit, into your heart. And even though we're still walking around in our old halls, the Holy Spirit is alive in us, and the Bible says it's already starting to break through and produce fruit. And I have experienced that from the eighth family. I've experienced the fruit that you're already producing in your old hulls. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I've received loving cards from you and words of encouragement, and it's been very obvious that the seed of the Holy Spirit is working already through your life. One day it's going to break through in an incredible way, but right now it's already working. But what will my new body be like? It'll be like Jesus' body. Like his post-resurrection appearance. Like what he was like when he was walking around among us. Now, mind you, that was before he was glorified, the Bible says. There was coming a time when he would be glorified. And an interesting thing, here's a homework assignment for everybody today. Read Revelation 1. Revelation 1, you can remember that. In there, the Apostle John, who spent 3 years walking around with Jesus, eating with him every night, rubbing elbows with him, he got a glimpse of the resurrected Jesus glorified. And when he saw Jesus, it says there in Revelation, when he saw his Lord, his knees buckled because Jesus was so magnificent and so powerful and so beautiful. We're going to be like that. The Bible says we're not only going to get this incredibly beautiful new body, but we're going to be glorified too, just like Jesus was. Revelation 1, mind you now, read that today. Verses 42 to 44, it says our new body will be imperishable. Imperishable. You take a basket of fruit, put it here, and leave it for 6 months, as beautiful as it was to start with, it'll rot. Imperishable means our new bodies will never rot. They will never go bad. And it'll be full of glory. Right now, our bodies betray us sometimes physically. They're just not what we hope. They're frail and sick and sometimes experience pain, and there are limitations. But then they will be full of glory and power, not weakness. Power. You don't associate that, I know, right now with your body, but power will one day be a part of who you are. And it'll be a spiritual body. Now, mind you, that does not mean non-material. When we talk about a spiritual body, we talk about something that is put together just like our fleshly bodies by God. It is touchable, but it is not decaying, not it's permanent. It's not weak. It's not subject to decay, but it's assembled and organized and perfected by the one who invented it in the first place. Luke chapter 24 is a beautiful passage where Jesus, the risen Jesus, gets together with his disciples, and we learn there that our new body will be at peace. It will not be troubled and anxious the way our present bodies are, stressed out, afraid, experiencing doubts. It'll have hands and feet. Our Creator is not destroying the blueprints. He's perfecting the body as we experience it now. It'll be touchable, as Jesus was touchable. Put your hand in the nail holes, Jesus said to Thomas, and it'll be flesh and bone. Notice he didn't say flesh and blood. Blood we associate with earthly life. If you got blood, you got earthly life. But now we'll be flesh and bone, and what's flowing through us now will be the Holy Spirit, which is life itself. And that life will never be extinguished. And, no small matter here, we'll be able to eat and enjoy food. Jesus did that with his disciples on the shore. They had a shore lunch. And I know that's good news to many people here at 8th Reformed Church, because this is an eating group. Terry and Liz, thank you every week for bringing donuts and muffins and cookies and all sorts of healthy treats for us on Wednesday. Robert, thank you for providing that special fellowship meal once a year that we enjoy. This group likes to eat. You'll see that in just a few minutes as we go out here and have goodies and treats. Guarantee you there won't be any leftovers, and that's a good thing. Because Christians should like to eat. The Bible talks about the fact that when we get our new bodies, we're going to eat together. And we're going to enjoy it like we've never enjoyed it before. John chapter 20, another picture of Jesus with his disciples after the resurrection. And the doors were all locked, but Jesus came and stood among them. He was not subject to barriers. Neither will we be. He stood among them and showed him his hands and his sides. His body parts were intact, except for the scars. And there was peace again mentioned. Every time you find the resurrected Jesus, you find the word peace. He says, peace be with you. Peace. Our existence will be characterized by peace. And the Holy Spirit, it says Jesus breathed on them. And if Jesus breathes on you, look out. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's life itself. It's incredible. Even though right now we're still in our physical body, Jesus' life has been planted inside of our hulls. And it's just a matter of time before that incredible life, that powerful life, that beautiful life that is in you is going to come out and be released and be visible and start walking around as a resurrected being. And that's incredible to think about. The spiritual right now can sprout through our physical bodies and we can produce fruit, but nothing like what it's going to be when the seed breaks open and our life bursts forth. All right, I'm going to read something in closing that I read at nearly every memorial service that I ever do, and it's a beautiful passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long for the day when we will put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing, for we will not be spirits without bodies. We will put on new heavenly bodies. Our dying bodies make us groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and have no bodies at all. We want to slip into our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by everlasting life. God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. So we're always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we'll not be at home with the Lord. That's why we live by believing and not by seeing. We're still in the hulls, but soon the hulls will break free and powerful, beautiful life will spring forth. Breathtaking life will spring forth. I want to close with a quote from C.S. Lewis. Think of yourself just as a seed patiently wintering in the earth, waiting to come up as a flower in the gardener's good time, up into the real world, the real waking. I suppose that our present life, our whole present life, looked back on from there, will seem only a drowsy half-waking. We're here now in the land of dreams, but cock crow is coming. It's nearer now than when I began writing this letter, C.S. Lewis said. Cock crow, when we'll hear it, and we will graduate into those new bodies. Praise God, the seed of our bodies will die and the real life will sprout and grow into a living body so beautiful we'll be forever thrilled and proud and grateful and excited to the Creator and Redeemer, the Resurrected One, Jesus Himself. What a day that'll be. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the miracle of the seed. It reminds us what's coming. It reminds us that you have incredible plans in store for us throughout all eternity. We praise you in advance for what we will experience. Life a million times richer than what we experience right now. More beautiful, more powerful, more alive. That's what we'll be. Thank you for that assurance. Thank you for Jesus. We pray it in His name. Amen.